The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning, John, and welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a little bit since I've been here for different reasons. And there's nothing more exciting than come back to a great show. And that's what's in store today. In no specific order, I'll go from my left to right. We have actually today my partner, my business partner, Peter Janowski, who is a financial consultant with Ryan Janowski Financial Strategies Group. And next to him, we have John Skinner. And John Skinner is the Nassau County Commissioner of Labor, which is going to be very significant as part of our conversation today. Next to John is Devon Lomax. Lomax, I'm saying it properly?
Lomax.
Lomax, I'm sorry, Devon. And Devon is the political director for District Council 9. And next to him is Alan Foley, who's been on the program before, and he is the business organizer for District 9. And, of course, next to that person is Otto, who we already said hello to. Today's program is going to be a little different. Normally we do 2 half-hour segments. And then I had the opportunity, Otto and I, to talk with these four guys who, Peter was Local 3.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. My former life and my first career, I spent 11 years in the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local Union Number 3.
Right.
Where I worked my way up to actually becoming a foreman, and 20 coming up on 24 years ago, I switched careers and I met you.
Right. And it's been, what do you call that?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So I have some deep roots in the labor community.
And one of the reasons this whole program came about, because Peter will talk about something he reads in the paper and says, this is a disgrace. This is a disgrace what's going on. And then I know Alan, I met John recently, and it's like, guess what? Let's put you guys together to discuss it. And the purpose of the discussion, is what the man on the street can do. We were doing a little conversation before in reference to Irv and different things, but we're going to start with John. Okay, as the Commissioner of Labor for Nassau County. And Otto, you had a question in reference to if somebody's looking for something. So
I would say most people who are listening to this show, like I always joke, but 40 maybe, it could be up to 41 now.
42.
Yeah, we have family members joining us. Most people really don't know what the Labor Department of Nassau County really does. They may read the word once in a while in the newspaper. So maybe if you could just give us a brief overview.
Sure. Good morning. I've been there since February of 2018, and with Laura Curran's administration, we look to make it the most proactive labor department that Nassau County has had so far. And a few of the things that we've done is we've created a web page, which has links to all the other resources for the Department of Labor, the New York State Department of Labor, and also to workforce development agencies, to one-stops, to the Suffolk County Department of Labor as well. And what the Department of Labor does is it advocates for workers, helps them find employment if they've lost employment, so re-employment, or possibly training for education. So we've connected with the local colleges as well, and we have links, all kinds of links on the page that direct you to these different resources. And of course, protecting workers' rights. So if workers are being abused on the job, connecting them with the proper enforcement authorities to help those people if they've been abused. And some of the stories that we get on that pretty much would, being this is geared towards seniors, we see a lot of from 45 to 60 years old, people losing their jobs and then experiencing age discrimination when they go to apply for a new job. So I've had a number of people come to my office for counsel, and we've talked about they have fantastic resumes, and when they're talking to the companies on the phone, they seem to be very happy. And then when they go in for the meeting and they see people with gray hair, the whole tone of the conversation changes, and they don't get any responses back. and this is age discrimination, and it's, in my opinion, I believe this is a problem that's going to explode in the course of the next couple of years for a number of reasons. One is I believe that they feel like they can manipulate younger workers and pay them less with less benefits, and they don't want to pick up someone who's older because of the medical plans and because of medical insurance. So we're looking at a problem, I think, that in the next couple of years is going to be a huge problem in the employment world and for the all the Department of Labor people who work in the Department of Labor to try to help these folks.
My personal opinion is I think that there is a very top-heavy, having sold to the corporate world for 45 years, I've seen a lot of people who run companies or the top layer who really don't know what's going on in the business many times, making lots of money, and then a lot of people below them not making a lot of money or just eking out a living. I don't know how you know, this is just a broad statement, but to me that's a major issue, and what you're doing, I think, helps try to cut that down somehow. I don't know how it, you know, there's no magic wand, I don't believe, that can make that change, but I think it's an objective for sure to try to level off the income a little bit.
I have a question. As far as age discrimination, has any companies or employees suffered any consequences of the result of discrimination?
I'm sure there have been cases. I don't know of any off the top of my head, but I'm sure it's something you could research on Google to see who's enforcing that and going after people for age. But I believe it's something that's also very hard to prove. Like a lot of labor crime cases, it's very difficult to prove. People who've come to me with other issues in the department, they want to stay anonymous. And then when I reach out to the U.S. Department of Wage and Hour, Irv Miljoiner's organization from the federal government, if the witness does not want to come forward and testify, if they want to stay anonymous, there isn't a whole lot that the agency can do to enforce the law. So that is a problem. People are afraid to come forward in a lot of cases.
Actually, just talking about Irv for 1 second, he's going to be coming on the show. Because while he was working, he said, John, I'm too busy. But he's retired now. I forgot about that. So he'll be coming on eventually.
And anybody who doesn't know Irv Miljoiner's history, he has been an amazing advocate for workers on Long Island and done some incredible cases over the years. He is truly an icon in the industry and somebody that, as soon as I took my job at the Department of Labor, he was more than helpful.
Really?
And a great friend to me, and he's we need more people on the planet like him.
That's one of the issues where I'm trying to go with this even today, is the Irvs of the world. There's less and less Irvs. You go back 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you had a lot of friends that somebody would jump in there and say, Devon, don't do this. Come here. Let me help you out. You're going in the wrong direction, guy.
Right.
You know, Alan, don't. Now it's almost, this is my opinion, you sink or swim on your own because everybody's afraid and nobody wants to come forward. And again, from a senior population, it's like, let me just accept this abuse, which is a shame. And you're accepting it and you go home, but you need a job. Meanwhile, somebody else is making millions of dollars and you don't have a job. And that's the, you know, I was telling you earlier, those are the things that make me nuts today.
Right.
Me too.
You have something on your mind, I think, Devon.
Well, it's, you know, we see it a lot, you know, in the construction industry, right? You know, we see a lot of, you know, wage theft cases where you see, you know, it's always the most vulnerable folks who are always the ones getting exploited. And like I said, we see it all the time. And, you know, we go to the, in New York City, we go to the controller's office, go to the DOL, and it's hard. It's hard, you know. Some folks are undocumented. They don't want to come forward because they're scared, you know. And even with seniors, you know, wage theft is a big case in the construction industry where, you know, if someone's getting older, they're moving a little bit slower and, you know, their employer wants to pay them off the books. And, you know, and it is sad.
Excuse me, DC. You're representing DC 9.
Yes.
District Council 9. Yep. Is what?
We're the painters and allied trades. Okay. We also represent glaziers, bridge painters, a lot of the structural steel painters. So if you see water tanks around, those are the workers that we represent.
That's the five boroughs?
Long Island, five boroughs, Westchester, all the way up to Albany to the Canadian border.
Oh, big district.
Yeah.
Just in reference to what you were saying there. You know, there's a level of abuse. But then you said immigrants, undocumented.
Yep.
Where do they work in here? Because obviously they're being exploited,
right?
Because they're going to come in not under the radar. They're coming in because they're not getting any benefits whatsoever,
right?
And nobody really cares. I don't mean, I'm not talking about me and you guys. Yeah, nobody really cares what happens to them. You get 10 or 12 hours out of them for $15 and you're happy.
Right.
But where does that going to fit in? I mean, how life for them, how does that change?
Well, I mean, so that's why, you know, that's why we organize. That's why we try to organize.
Okay.
You know, when we see workers, you know, we go, I always say, you know, you never blame a worker for trying to support his family, you know. An employer is constantly taking advantage of them because, again, they're going to tell someone to get on a scaffold. They're going to tell someone you're going to work for this wages. Oh, I'm not even going to pay you overtime today. Oh, I might not even pay you at all. And the worker's going to go to work because he wants to feed his family. He or she wants to feed their families. And, you know, and that's why we try to organize. We try to work with all these communities to educate them first and then, you know, let them know that, you know, they can come forward and, you know, and get their earned wages that were stolen from them. And it's just really, it's a lot about education, but a lot of times we'll march them all the way to the front doorstep and then they'll get cold feet. And then you can't find them anymore. So it's really just about education. And
they can get back?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's a fight and you have to prove everything.
No, right. But you need to, you know, they need to come forward and tell their stories.
In your case, you said we means the union you're involved with, or like would you work together with the Department of Labor?
We work pretty close with the Department of Labor, you know, in bringing these cases forward. A lot of times we work with the district attorneys. Madeline Singers has been awesome, you know, and help combating wage theft. The union world also, you know, we try to say we represent all workers, right? You know, whenever we see exploitation happening, it's a chance for us to organize and, you know, and broaden our the views of what people think of organized labor, mm-hmm. and try to expand who we are and what we do for the communities.
Yeah, I mean, organized labor years ago did have an image that was different.
Right.
And I think people have to get past that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The facts are that the purpose of the whole thing is to help people make a better life.
Right, absolutely.
Simple, really.
Right, and simply said, I was also, John Skinner again here, I was a member of Local 46, the Ironworkers, for 37 years before I became the Commissioner of Labor. So for myself, with a high school diploma, the education that I got being president and political director of that organization that led me to this job was incredible and somewhat sad, because that's what I delved into, investigating worker mm-hmm. exploitation, especially of the immigrant population. The immigrant population donates huge amounts of money to the tax base that people don't understand, and we have reports on that can show you the truth. And what people have to realize is stop believing the misinformation about our immigrants. They are donating to society. They are 99% good people, just like anybody else, and they're just trying to make a better living here. And we need to help those people. We need to help them get into unions. We need to help secure them good jobs with good benefits. And the same as our families did going way back. Everybody who came last was always the person that was abused, the Irish, the Italians. Now it's the South Americans, the Latinos, some of the Asians. It's just, we all know it's wrong. It needs to stop. And we all need to help these people get a better life. There's plenty in America left for everybody. America is not full. That's nonsense.
I don't. This is, again, I agree. I'm first generation. My parents came from Germany in the 20s. So I have great respect for people who come to this country, who try to make a better life and start from scratch many times. They don't know the language. They have no money. You know, they're starting from scratch, and that's not easy.
I quote a headline. I think Illinois has banned the right to work.
Yes.
Correct?
Which I think
is tremendous. And I also think the connotation of right to work law is terrible, because most people, there's a total misperception about
words.
That. It's actually, right, it's a terrible play on words. Yeah. I should change that too, but I thought that was a great step. I think, I'm not sure, but it's illegal in New York, correct?
It's not
a right to work state.
For like when the Janus decision, Janus versus AFSCME, the Supreme Court case, essentially made it right to work, the entire country right to work for public sector unions. You know, I guess the Illinois case was probably just specific to the state law. And then I know the governor had passed some law to protect public sector workers and having the right to organize. But I don't know if it's essentially banned. Quote unquote banned.
Right. I mean, I'm shocked. but yeah. not the non-union work in New York City. Like mm-hmm. I said, I'm out of the industry, coming up on 24 years. I still stay in touch with some people. But if you go to Long Island City these days, I mean, yes. John and I in the city, I just can't believe.
You know what? We're going to take a break. I'm cutting you off because we're going
to
come back.
I'm used to it.
No, we're going to we're going to come back with Long Island City. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM. We'll be right back.